There you go. Welcome back, everybody. 8:17 here on a Monday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer, some highlights from NHL All-Star Weekend. You had the 3-on-3 games on Saturday for the first time. We'll actually keep track of this. The Atlantic Division won it, beating the Central in the final. And Matthew Tkachuk, in front of the home fans, was the MVP. I think he and Brady were probably, by and large, seems to be. They were the stars of the weekend. They have, you know, if you have some personality, you can win All-Star Weekend pretty quickly by having a little bit of personality. And they have that personality. Plus, put the two of them together. Add a little sand, and boom, there you got your MVP.
Yeah, and I guess from 11 guys, Jer, walk out of there with 90K each, and Dad seemed pretty fired up, too. A couple of things there, was up cheering when they were scoring.
All right, let's bring in our next guest. He is TSN's Dave Poulin. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Very well, gentlemen. I will say, I think from a scheduling standpoint, forget the actual event itself, but from a scheduling standpoint, the NHL is doing this right. And it's taken some iterations of how they were going to handle a break. At first it was thought that like the Atlantic Division and, you know, and the Metro would get the week off before, but now it's a total mix, but there's no gap between there were Wednesday night games and there's Monday night games. And if I was a playing team as Ottawa, you know, I think has the best break. I would love to have my break after the All-Star game. So play right up to it, to the Wednesday night, the Tuesday night, take your break, and then, you know, and then have a break after, I think is a perfect situation. So they can sit wherever they're sitting now, kick back and watch hockey for a few days and then go back to work late week. So I really applaud the NHL from a scheduling standpoint. I think they did get this right. You don't go 2 weeks without hockey or 10 days without hockey. And yet everybody gets a good break.
When we talked to you on Friday, you were undecided if you're going to watch any of the All-Star Weekend or maybe watch some capsulized versions of everything. By and large, Dave, and social media creates becomes a bit of an echo chamber after a while, but seemed to be pretty much across the board the entire weekend or most of the weekend was panned. I guess I'll just ask you this question. Is there any way to fix it, or is it just it is what it is and we just deal with it?
I don't think there's a way to fix it the way the hockey purists would like it fixed. You're not going to get a full-blown game. And I think of some of my own experiences. The two games that we played against the Russians in 1987 in Rendezvous during the All-Star break, that's not going to happen again. And it wouldn't happen again. The Players Association arguably wouldn't let you do it. They wouldn't let 20 of their players play in a highly contested full-speed event. And so I think from a standpoint of I did poke into it, various points, both Friday night and Saturday, a little more on Saturday. The 3-on-3 was a little more of interest to me than the events, but the events are to draw kids. That's all it is. And it's local to the area and it's some personalities coming out. Some do and some don't. It's far from perfect, but I take it lightly and just say, I'm as concerned about the break for the players. And then you've got to fill the break somehow. So you reward the ones that have been the best through the first half. And you welcome your sponsors, and you hopefully welcome new fans into the game.
And again, I know they play around with it. The 1 year or years ago, probably they had the young guns. You talked, and hey, you know, you were there. I guess I was also saying, if there was a small critique to it, because I'm not too wrapped up, I just look at a guy like Stützle, and could you, in each of the teams, have the first-time guy? Because as you've pointed out, you know, just doing it personally, like that's the big deal, right? The first-time guy just thinks this is the greatest thing ever. But when you've gone 15 times like Crosby, it starts to wear thin after a while.
It is, but you still have to reward a Crosby as a star of the game because he's playing so well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not there gratuitously at all. He's there because he deserved to be
for
there.
For sure, for sure.
You would like the pool to be bigger to include, and that's something you might consider, Simmer, is a bigger pool. There, you know, there can be more than 40 players. I think there can, and without you know, slighting the process or slighting the idea of an all-star, there could be, you know, a handful more on each side for sure and reward some of the young stars that you want to bring into the fold.
Is there, I had thought, because each NHL team, I believe, has individual skills competitions. You think it's of any interest just to have, like, whoever might be the fastest skater in Ottawa actually goes to the all-star and we actually declare who the fastest skater. Is there any interest or because in some cases, it's a pretty much anonymous player that really is something the NHL wouldn't be interested in.
I don't think they'd be interested for that reason. And as you said that, I'm smiling and I'm thinking, okay, how would that change the individual team events? You know, would that ramp things up substantial in the team event.
I'm just talking about the skills itself.
No, but I mean, within the skills competition of Ottawa, would that ramp Ottawa's competition up with the chance to go to the All-Star game?
Right, okay.
You know, that could very well be the case. But then I think if you're going to bring volume, I think you'd bring a Timmy Stützle, you know, a young star, more so than you'd bring an individual who won the hardest shot competition.
I'm sure the NHL did that years ago, guys, didn't they? I'm almost positive that there was a point. And the other side of this is a lot of guys wouldn't want to win the competition because they're not going to play in the All-Star game. And I think for a lot of guys, probably don't even want to be there versus actually getting away and having a
Well, there is a first time, though, Simmer, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Your first-time argument about Tim Stützle would apply to whoever that you declare to be the fastest skater on the Ottawa Senators, if Nick Paul or whatever it might have been back, right?
Yeah. No, for sure. And I meant more just an augment of one player for each team, you know, that is really part of the whole thing. It's not taking anybody else away. But, again, I just find we were kind of talking, Pooley. It's just interesting that people kind of seem to use this as a weekend to point out everything they hate about the NHL.
No kidding.
I was like, I'll tell you what. Really? Are you?
I agree, Simmer. You know, and it's like almost like the you know, everybody just wants to go in and pan it, and I just take it lightly.
Wow.
I'm a little scarred by the whole skills competition, Simmer, and you were there in 93 when we bought the four Washington Redskins in. Do you remember that?
Chip Lowmiller won. David was so upset. Hardest
Chip
shot.
Lowmiller, he shot it harder than I did. I was supposed to go next. The kicker for the Washington Redskins. And, you know, but he was a big kid. He's about 6'3", and he stepped on the ice. The minute he stepped on the ice, he was from like Edina, Minnesota, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The minute
he
stepped on the ice, I was like, okay, well, this guy knows what he's doing. There was a big lineman from Michigan. There was a linebacker there. And JR, this kid steps on the ice, and he starts shooting the puck. I'm like, I'm not going after him. And he went and he shot like 93.5. And they're like, up next, Dave Poole. And I'm like, not a chance.
Oh,
like it would be like me going out and kicking a 55-yard field goal and then saying, go ahead, Chet, it's in the wind.
Over to you.
No way.
All right. Well, we don't need to spend more time litigating the All-Star weekend because that's been well done. But that kind of dovetailed yesterday. It was like NHL playoff format became the thing to discuss. And, you know, a lot of people weighing in that they think the current format with the wild card sucks. So what does Dave Poulin think of all the – and there are four options. There's the current wild card system. There's just strictly going division only. There's conference 1-8. And, of course, there's the old school from back in the 80s, league-wide 1-16. Is there a perfect format or because it changes every year, you know, that you're never going to get one that's going to satisfy everyone?
You're never going to get one. I like the way it is. And league-wide 1-16, throw it out the window because you can't – you know, play Vancouver in the first round if you're in Florida. I mean, you simply can't logistically. And so you throw that one out. But I think a lot of this is coming out of the Atlantic Division. I just do because you happen to have three of the top five teams and they're going to see, you know, two of those teams are going to be eliminated in the first two rounds. And I think that's where it's coming from as much as anywhere. And I talk to people in the other division. I'm not hearing a lot out of the Central. I'm not hearing a lot out of the West about it. It seems to be coming from the Atlantic, you know, and the outcry being that, well, you know, how do you get by Vasilevsky in two rounds or, you know, a juggernaut Bruins team or, you know, in Toronto hasn't had success in the playoffs. But I played in, I think, every iteration from, you know, four games in five nights to 2-3-2s to, you know, different systems and different. I think it's fine the way it is right now. I really do. And I think that shakes out, you know, you're going to have. It'll be interesting to see what the argument is in 3 or 4 years when it's, you know, arguably Ottawa and Buffalo and Detroit and, you know, that are vying for these same positions.
I just absolutely love the divisional thing. And I think here in Ottawa, from perspective of when they played Montreal and Toronto, again, you're the man to ask, was there anything better than playing in the Patrick and Adams division in the playoffs?
No, and you know what? For a couple of years, it was quite, I mean, think of this irony. We didn't want to play the New York Rangers and we finished 40 plus points ahead of them. And we thought that was a lousy matchup because they seemed to just ramp up for the playoffs and play their best hockey for 2 weeks and then pack it in again. And so, you know, I think it's really the individual, but the matchups that we had in that Patrick division and just, you know, with Washington, with the Islanders and with the Rangers at that point, those were the teams we were competing against. We're just, I mean, I think they made the whole playoffs through the first couple of rounds.
I'm a fan of playing more games in the regular season within your division, not eight like it was for a while there, but more than the, in some cases, you know, Edmonton and Calgary are playing three times this year. That doesn't seem right. Would you be a fan of more divisional play, even if it came at the cost of, let's say, in some cases, I don't know, if the other conference only came, you know, if eight teams out of the other conference only came every other year, as it were. So we only saw Connor McDavid, let's say, in Ottawa once every 2 years.
Yes,
that's realistic?
I would be in favor of that. And, you know, there were, I mean, we went through a phase, I'm just thinking, where I think we played the Buffalo Sabres seven or eight times during the regular season, then another seven times in the playoffs. You want a rivalry, that's a rivalry. And that builds a whole different level of animosity and a whole different level of competition. So, you know, but you do get the star factor, right, about being in the building every year. And that's the aggravation of it. I might knock down the conference a little bit so you saw everybody every year, but in the division you played more. So I might pull from the conference to get to the division rather than the whole league, JR.
Yeah, let me give you my solution. Five games against the other seven teams in your conference, and then home and away against every other team in the league. That gives you 83 games, which I'm fine with, but people said that's stupid. Okay, then add another game then. And I even think they play too many games, but you know they'll never take away games. Add one more game then against your most common geographical rival or whatever to make an 84. Cut down on the preseason, make 84 games, boom. Five games against your division, two against everybody else.
I'm totally fine with that. I think that works.
Thank you. Sold.
And in the 83rd game, I don't have an issue with either. We played 84 at times, so
right.
I'm fine with 83.
All right. And it's hard to get the head around, guys, but the thing I was also saying, Pooley, like, I'm pumped to see Tampa and Toronto play. Now, it could be the least kind of the Cowboys effect, but the fact that they played last year and that they go head-to-head again, like, to me, that's the playoff series I'm looking the most forward to right now.
With Boston looming, potentially.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I
agree. And then guess what? Once you get through that, you got to face potentially a Carolina or a Rangers team or a Washington team. So I agree. It's not supposed to be easy. And, you know, you can't brag about how strong your division is and your conference is and that pay a price for it as well because you're so strong. So that same strength is why you're good. Like, part of the reason why Boston is this good right now is because Toronto and Tampa are so good. And they have to be that good. They have to play like that, and they know that. They have to compete with them. They have to also market their team with them, and so they have to build their team accordingly. I agree, Simmer. It's part of being good is being good.
Yeah, and you go back historically, guys, the Battle of Alberta, part of you felt bad for Calgary. Nobody ever talks about Winnipeg.
Winnipeg was the lost soul.
Yeah, I mean, what do you...
Lost soul. They had to play one of those two teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's exactly right. The great Dale Hawerchuk-led teams, they had some great teams in those years, and they couldn't get by the first round, let alone the second round. Hmm.
All right, let's talk about a little bit of business done over the weekend, yesterday in particular, in which the New York Islanders, who haven't had Bo Horvat actually play a game for them, signed him to an eight-year extension worth $8.5 million per season. Lou Lamoriello said, it's too much money and it's too long, but he still signed him. So what are your thoughts initially on the deal?
So, guys, when we do That's Hockey in the Gino Retta show, the producers, they'll be in their morning meeting and they'll say, okay, I wonder if we had anybody this happen to. And usually it's Pooley is the answer, like Pooley had this happen to him. When I got traded to Boston, I signed a new contract before I played a game with the Boston Bruins. And now it was only a three-year deal. I was 31 years old. And I wasn't going unless I got that new contract. I mean, you know, a stage in my life and in my career. I actually had a business off the ice and it was doing very well. And, you know, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not just moving to Boston for half a year. I'm not. If I'm going, I'm going to make a commitment. And so I did go through that. A couple things on the Horvat deal from both sides. There's a reason Vancouver moved early, guys. And it was their sense of the market for Bo Horvat. And when they got a deal they felt was fair market value, they were concerned, in my mind, the only reason they would move forward is they were concerned that that was going to be the best offer they got. And so they had done their homework on the market for Bo Horvat. So they accept the deal from the Islanders. They make the move early. They take some criticism for it. Did you shop it enough? But they would have shopped it to the point where they knew what the market was. Likewise, the representation for Bo Horvat does their homework. And they know from the various teams. So think of that first answer on what the market was out there. Think of the second answer. That was a trade, albeit, you know, not a free agent signing. Think of the second answer in that the representation group has an idea of what his market value is as well. So when they do get to the island, and if the island was one of the teams, and they get the chance to get a number that they know would be top dollar in the free agent market. It's easy to say he could have got more, but they get 8 years, they get top market, and so I think those two things answer to the same question, that he did get top dollar, and that is the high end of the market for Bo Horvat, both what value Vancouver got back and what value the agent was able to get from a team that was now desperate because they made the trade for him and they'd put their chips in. So both things align for me in the way it sets up. The player to say, like, of all the cities in the NHL, I knew the least about what it was like to be an Islander and live on Long Island and play for the Islanders. It's just not it's not an area that I knew very much about until my post-playing days, and I visited a number of times. It's okay, it's a really nice area. There's a lengthy drive, the new rink, different, you know. But most cities, you say, okay, I have a feel for it from playing there. You don't have a feel from playing on the island what it is to live on the island. And that's something that Bo Horvat would have had to do his homework from a family standpoint. And, like, I've been to, you know, Bobby Nystrom's home and knew what a beautiful home, what a beautiful area it was, and all those things that as a player you would want to know from a family standpoint. So I'm assuming that each of the respective groups did their homework, and, you know, and Bo Horvat has a young family, and maybe he wanted to say to her, okay, we don't want to go somewhere for 3 or 4 months and then make another move. Once we get, you know, this commitment from them, it's, you know, and that's legacy money, that's family money. That's a whole different level at 8 years times 8.5. So for all those reasons, it makes sense from the player's standpoint.
And as a UFA on 7 years, obviously the math, you got to go north of 9. Is that market even there? To that, Pooley, as well, was a great timing to kind of catch your breath in the All-Star break. You're playing the All-Star game, but if you're going to kind of transition to something, it's not like, hey, I'm on the bird and I'm playing that night, and then you're scrambling to get things down with the family. It was really kind of a perfect timing for everybody involved.
Yeah, it arguably was, but a large part of the homework would have been done. That's a really veteran agent, and Pat Morris, and a veteran agent group that he has representing him, and the homework would have been done ahead of time. And as well, the agent's group would have had players playing in that market, so they could have lent. It could have said, "Here's 5 guys to call. You know, 4 of them have kids. You know, as we do our homework here." So those would have all been things that a good representation group like that group would have done.
When the trade was made, there was also a theory that, hey, if Horvat doesn't propel the Islanders forward in terms of the playoffs, that there might be enough time to actually trade him again, that the Islanders might flip him out. Now with a signed contract, does that become a moot point?
That might have been James Duffy leading the way on trade deadline day that was proposing that, JR, as the most exciting thing that could happen. You know, that was within the players' scope that he could you know, negate that because he could get the deal done, and that's when I talk about the homework being done. From the Islanders' standpoint, they don't want anything to do with that thought process. They right. simply don't, because it means they've failed in the trade, and they've failed for the trade to do what it's meant to do.
Do you think they can pick off Washington or Pittsburgh?
I'm not an Islanders guy, Simmer. I don't. I'd be as worried about Buffalo if I were them. And, you know, and what if one of these other teams does rise? And so I'm not of the mind that this trade alone is going to put them in the playoffs.
You mentioned, I think, with us on Friday that this period of the schedule now between the end of the All-Star break until the trade deadline, which is March the 3rd, is like a 3-week ride on the Autobahn in terms of teams. So what kind of hockey should we expect over the next 3 weeks?
I believe it'll be awesome. I really do. I think it's going to be a full ramp up. You've got freshly rested players. You've got that level of anxiety, if you will, in locker rooms. It just presses forward. This is the final stretch when you're trying to make the playoffs. But you're, you know, and some teams will want to stay together. There'll be a group that gets together and says, we really like each other. We want to stay together. It's up to us, guys. And, you know, and there's a, like, what's going to happen to Florida? Like, in Florida, they're only 3 points up on Ottawa right now, guys. And what's going to happen in Florida? Do they have a veteran enough group in that locker room? And the Islanders would have a veteran enough group. And Pittsburgh and Washington both have enough legacy in their room that have won cups. So I think there's enough push there, but the youthful enthusiasm of Buffalo, I think, is something to watch here. I really do.
All right, good stuff. It all starts tonight with 6 games, including Bo Horvat's debut in Philadelphia for the Islanders. Always appreciate the time, Dave. We'll chat again on Wednesday.
Have a great day, gentlemen.
TSN 1200 presents Bet and Breakfast, powered by FanDuel. Make every moment more on FanDuel. North America's number one sports book.
All right, Friday is ancient history. I think you took the Raptors in Houston. Ended up being a closer game than... I don't even remember what you took. We're going to forget about
that. I did for sure, and I did the gap, whatever. Yeah, let's just forget
it.
About
was 8 points, and then they won
by three. Fresh start.
Fresh start. It's like the NHL All-Star break. Sweeps clean. Here we go. Yep. Six games on the ice tonight following the All-Star weekend festivities. Bo Horvat is set to make his debut for the Islanders in Philly. New York is -137 to win the game tonight, so $14 bet. Pays just over 10. Now, if you want to take the Islanders by two, you get nearly 2-to-1 odds on that one, two or more.
Okay.
All right, total for the game is 5.5, which is that's as low as we've seen on the board tonight, and that's as low as we see, period.
Yeah.
So they're expecting a low-scoring game, and Horvat to score in his debut, Simmer, +150. So $10 bet wins you 15. So, by the way, you can check out all the goal score props and more at on the FanDuel app. What do you like tonight?
Yeah, and again, saw that line, JR, as far as a 5.5. So I'm going to go a little 4-2 Islanders win. So obviously I'm going to take the Islanders as well, take the over, and I'm going to take Horvat to score. I think there'll be a lot of energy. And it's funny when we talk about trades on a few things here. The fact that it was done, you know, in advance, almost a month in advance of the deadline. Now you've signed a contract, man, that allows you to settle in. So expecting big things from him. So, yeah, I'll take Horvat. I'll take the over, and obviously I'll take the Islanders.
Okay, there you go. Make every moment more on FanDuel, North America's number one sports book. Of course, this is Super Bowl weekend. This would be, I don't think there's any doubt about it, the most gambled weekend of the year, right? There are some interesting props that are out there so far. Not the crazy, crazy props, but actually sort of football related. We'll get into the crazy props later on in the week, like how long will the anthem be and all that other jazz.
How many times will they show Giselle? Well, obviously she's not going to be there this time. But I did think if I'm working a camera, or more importantly, if I'm producing that JR, especially towards retirement, like I'm taking my whole retirement fund.
Well,
and I'm just pumping that rate down on, hey, you want to see Giselle? Is it 1.5? Well, I'll show you what. I'm going to show her 3 times here, and I'm going to double my money.
Here's the thing. Like, normally for pretty much everything, especially with Super Bowl, I know there's a prop line on what is Rihanna's doing the halftime show. What is her first song going to be? Well, they do rehearsals. They also do the rehearsal on, I don't remember who's singing the national anthem.
Yeah.
But they'll sing it the way they're actually going to sing it at the game. And so I'm getting my stopwatch out there. And usually, you know, the time is usually, I don't know, they set it at like 2 minutes or whatever.
I can see the JR in like his coaching gear there.
Exactly. High size socks. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I got my stopwatch, and I'm going, either they're going to be well under two. Either it's long and drawn out, or it's quick and easy for the anthem. So, to your point of, it seems like some of these sort of more obscure prop bets can be manipulated.
Yeah, and now when they also see a large amount of money go down one of these. And FBI peaks. Now, you're a smart man. You have a lot of information. Do you have any idea, like just say on the Canadian anthem, first of all, as to how long the Canadian anthem is, and during the year of ascends, I would be interested to find out, like, what is the difference of, are we talking 3 seconds between the person that did it a little shorter than a little longer? Like, that I guess, is my curiosity. I wouldn't even begin to, couldn't even tell you how long the Canadian anthem lasts.
I don't know either. Hammer, you're at all the home games. I think that to your point, I think the Canadian anthem always seems to be sung at about the same pace, if that makes sense. And I think the American anthem can either be sung really fast or is really drawn out by someone who really wants to showcase their voice.
Well, the high is also on the American anthem, you know, the whole Star Spangled Banner part of it. I would agree, but I don't even, now the Booger Gosman lady, I think would hold the record, right?
Can we have her?
I think I've got her on a wrench. I went back and got her on a wrench because she got lost. But she would hold
the record though, right? For the longest ever. I can say it makes it fun. And from a gambling standpoint, I just find it interesting that, you know, the line and how this all works of, how much money, and again, Kansas City's a decent-sized place, and so I don't want to say wealthy, but the amount of money that comes out of a place like Philadelphia, that is put down on the Eagles. And this is, to me, this is people just absolutely betting with their heart as well, right?
Sure.
Like, you know, there's a fair amount of the real professional guys, but these guys are just totally like, okay, we're in a locker in here, and hey, just start pouring in the cash and how that affects the whole gambling world.
Let me just look at what the latest line is on FanDuel. So it's down to 1.5 for Philly. So it started at, I believe it opened at
two
for KC. Or 2.5 for KC. It got bet to 2.5 for Philly within a few hours. Yeah. And what the people that are into gambling say is that the smart money bets very early.
Yeah, the big boys come out early, they were saying.
Right.
Yeah.
And that it's the betting with your heart people that bet more toward the game time. Anyway, it's down to 1.5 now. Philly is
favorite. But I would also assume if you're an Eagles fan, and again, there have been Super Bowls in the past where you think, "Ah, oh, man, this thing is so one-sided." Like, I don't think you'd have any regret, I guess, is my point. Like, I think this game is almost a toss-up. I'm taking my Eagles to bring her home.
Yeah. I'll be doing what I have done the previous two games, and this goes back to my theory of Tampa and Toronto in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs last year, because I am not a very good gambler, because what I think will happen, the opposite usually happens. I will do like I did in the first two rounds of the playoffs because I'm a fan of the fighting Philadelphia Eagles. I go on my FanDuel app and I put money on the other team.
Whoa.
here's my theory. I can't lose.
Yeah.
Okay. If I lose in terms of my bet, that means my team has won. And that makes me the most happy.
Now we're talking ten bone.
Minimal. Yeah, it is. It's $10. That's what I put on it. If my team loses, I'm sad. But I've got the fallback of I've actually won my bet.
Would you even cash the ticket on Kansas City winning the Super Bowl against our Eagles?
I'll be betting on. Don't say my Eagles. Okay, just
I'll
don't.
Be over.
A-T-L-E-S-E. Come on, Simmer, I gotta hear you.
I just was on the NFL website, got some gear, so I'll be over.
Nice, excellent.
My wife, by the way, is throwing a flag. I got a bunch of Eagles gear for Christmas from my kids.
Okay, yeah.
She is now throwing a flag on the amount of stuff that I have. Okay. It is getting a bit I had my buddy, who's a big Niner fan, last week dropped off a new toque, Eagles toque.
Nice.
We didn't even, I texted him and I said, did we have a bet on it that I didn't know about? He goes, no, I just found one, so I thought I'd get it for you. And
the NFL has great toques. So
they change it every
year,
right?
Very strong game.
I got like four toques now from over the past few years, including two from this year. I've got, I think, four sweatshirts, one of which I only wear on game day.
Have a game day outfit?
Yes, I have a game day outfit. Okay. I was all washed yesterday. It'll all be folded up, ready to go. I only wear that on game day. So I'm ready to go with that. I haven't decided on underwear yet for Sunday, whether I've got some lucky gaunch or not.
Yeah.
I haven't really, that hasn't factored into my game day.
Well, if you don't know if you have it, then you
then
don't
I, then
have
I
it.
Then I don't have it. And I'll be
commando then.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know about that.
With your Eagles sweatpants.
I'll be putting my...
Are the Eagles sweatpants tear away? So if they win the Super Bowl, it's like, all right.
I'll be putting a tenner on the Chiefs.
Oh, that's good.
At a 1.5.
You're and, still going to feel like crap.
And perfect obviously... scenario is Philadelphia wins by 1 point.
Okay. And you're also, you must be incredibly in control of the environment of what's going on at the house, right?
Okay, so here's the deal. I'm glad you asked. Okay, so there's four people, including me, in my house right now, currently living. My wife and two of my kids. All right, my wife and one of my kids are actually going to a concert at the NAC on Sunday night. Vance Joy, big fan of Vance Joy. Okay. He's coming to town now. And my other daughter is Sen Superfan, who has also kind of adopted the Eagles. She got into football when they won the Super Bowl in 2017, has become a more casual fan this year, back into it again and watching the games with me.
Nice.
She and I will watch the game on Sunday. My wife and my other daughter will be out at the concert. That will be it. There will be no one else in the environment. It will be hermetically sealed.
Yeah.
My home for the day on Sunday. I said to my wife yesterday, in fact, I said there'll be no family visiting at all over the entire weekend. I don't want to have anything on Saturday. I don't want to have people over on Saturday.
What are you going to do on Saturday? What are you, in the bunker, hunkering down?
Eating your
cans of baked beans?
Yes.
Locked in, just
I'm
like
getting
one of the
ready.
Now, you also have to make sure, JR, first of all, they have to evacuate the house before kickoff.
Oh, yeah, long before.
Because there'll be some scrambling, looking for the tickets. or looking for you to do something.
Yeah.
Where are the keys?
The car won't start. I can't find my keys. Yeah, Where's my phone?
Yeah, you should test out the vehicle around 3 o'clock.
I'll start it at 3 and just leave it running in the driveway, so that can't be an excuse.
And then once they're gone, it's just kind of sealed off. And
that's exactly right.
Not allowed to enter the house until Super Bowl has been presented.
True story here. I did have a little bit of a moment of angst yesterday when my other daughter, who is, like my wife, a very casual sports fan, but does like to watch the odd thing. And she, too, I guess she learned from me and my other daughter, likes the Eagles. She has tickets to the concert that she's had for like 8 months. Looking forward. That's one of her favorite artists, Vance Joy. Okay, looking forward to it. She yesterday sort of broached the idea of, I'm not sure I want to go because, quote, our team is in the Super Bowl. My heart did skip a beat. Like, I did feel a moment of pride there that I now have two kids. And my third daughter, by the way, also adopted the Eagles, but would be willing to give up tickets to one of her favorite artists to actually stay home and watch the game with me. I did say, that's great, but I still think you should go to the show because she normally doesn't watch the games with me and therefore will be bad luck should she so choose.
I feel like Al Bundy night, like Married with Children, when he's so proud of the kids.
Yeah.
So if everybody... Almost everybody is out of the house.
Yes.
What are we doing for the grub?
So funny you should ask on that. So my wife, a couple of days after Christmas, turkeys were on sale, so she bought a turkey.
What?
Wow. It's so it's been in the freezer. We're going to get that out
Super Bowl turkey?
No, we're going to have that on Saturday. We're going to have turkey on Saturday.
You're eating like you're playing.
Exactly.
Hey, wow.
Sunday is Chili's wing and Chili's wings and usual sort of football fair. Yeah.
So are you kind of chowing before the match, or is it just kind of
lead up
halftime?
A little bit. I'll be grazing throughout the show. Yeah, okay. Monday could be ugly.
It does depend also how the game's going. Though,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like that's a lot to do with.
Yeah.
Luckily, you're in your own studio, so it doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
How you're more than willing to do, make whatever sounds you need to make in there. Take care of business. Don't invite us in.
Now, one other thing, and only in Ottawa, one degree of Ottawa separation story. So I'm at the Capital Hoops Classic on Friday night. I'm talking to John Scott, and John does a lot of events. You see him, Matt, at the Sens game, does a lot of the behind-the-scenes camera. Great guy. Anyway, does a lot of stuff at TD Place. So because I'm introducing things at the Capital Hoops, so I'm working with him. And he says to me at one point, he goes, did you know, by the way, a friend of mine from his work at TD Place is a former cheerleader with the Red Blacks, who now is a cheerleader with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I said, no. And her name is Kaylin McDowell.
Okay.
She actually, after she finished being a cheerleader for the Red Blacks, actually started dating one of the former, remember Danny Collins, the quarterback?
Yeah.
He's kind of a backup guy. Okay. Anyway, he's from that area. They eventually dated and they got married. And she has now moved to Philadelphia. She tried out for the Philadelphia Eagles cheerleading squad and made it. So she is actually on the cheer squad, and he said, you should get her on. And so I connected with her over the weekend. She goes, I'm going to be busy down in Arizona. She's going down this week. She said, when I get back, I'll come on the show. So there's my one degree of Ottawa separation, a connection to the Philadelphia Eagles on the sidelines for the game on Sunday.
Yeah, that is impressive, and maybe we'll see a Kevin Hart sighting as well. Maybe she can get him
An Ottawa connection.
As he tried to get on the stage last time around.
Yes.
And I wonder who else will come out of the woodwork this time. Like, who are other super famous Philadelphia people? I know the Fresh Prince, but is Will Smith from Philadelphia?
Yes.
Okay. In real life?
In real life.
Okay, cool. Okay.
I would tell you that Bradley Cooper is the biggest Philadelphia. I don't know if he's from Philly, but he's always in the owner's box. They always show him all the time.
And what Bon Jovi?
What, was he in Silver Linings Playbook?
That's right.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi's all over the place. He's a Philly guy, though, right?
Yeah, I thought he was Jersey,
but that's true. He's always a big Pats guy. Right? He's always with Robert Kraft.
Yeah, exactly.
Hanging out.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. There's my week ahead.
That's cool.
So I think I'm good. I think I'm set for Sunday.
Well, the fact you've got it planned this far out too, that's the worst thing you want to be doing is scrambling around and. Certainly minimizing and had the terrible situation out at the Wood a number of years ago where we were having a big party from a Pats and even bought a Pats cake. And that was a 28-3 at the half. And I was getting heckled by the entire bar. I was saying to Mira, I think we should just leave the cake alone. But I showed the confidence. Oh. I brought out the cake.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't leave and go home.
Oh, I know. Remember that. It was close. But I stuck it out.
Hand it out of here.
You got the, yesterday, I believe, was the anniversary of the 28-3 comeback.
I saw that. So, yeah, that's
man. I had
bad.
Forgotten how that had to be in terms of play scripting. That's where Kyle Shanahan, you know, great play designer. Poor clock manager. Man, that was so bad for the Falcons.
And the fact that he had already been hired by the Niners.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they would have reneged.
Well, he was trying to get the game over with as quickly as
that's
possible.
That's true, but I've always found that very strange in the NFL that you actually have another job. But the fact that I wondered after if he all of a sudden started going for interviews, I would assume that would have been a hot topic with general managers of how did you lose that game? How did that fella take a sack? When all he had to do was throw the ball away,
he can't help
himself.
He's so slow.
I know.
Matt Ryan, he can't help himself. Let's see here. Dennis writes, what time do you want me in? I'll pick up Simmer and Hammer. We'll have a euchre tournament at 3. Worst time is the party. No, there'll be no euchre parties.
That's a great idea.
There'll be no Simmer and Hammer at my house. There'll be none of that, Dennis. Thank you.
Dennis, the other part of that, we could be quite honest with you, have no idea where JR lives other than the area.
We're gonna have to get you there.
Okay, because we're going to have to do some...
Can you?
I've had to go and fix Wi-Fi there before.
Okay.
And do other
I think you'll remember.
We're going to have to go and just find the truck, the gym, the Kanata Ford.
You know.
Anybody's got Kanata Ford plates on there.
There's quite a few people in Kanata. JR, what time do you want me and my friends, who are all Cowboys, Commanders, and Raiders fans, over for the game on Sunday? Not happening.
Yeah, the worst thing would be watching this game with non-fans, right? That's the super irritating one, right? Where they have no skin in the game.
You know what, Simmer? Yeah. So true. I was listening to an Eagles podcast on the weekend, and they were saying, and it was with a guy who works for ESPN, one of their big anchors. He's from Philadelphia, and he goes, if I'm not at the game, and he told his wife, same thing. We're not having people over. The absolute worst. You just want to watch the game. God, you want to listen to the game. You want to think about the game. You don't want to make small talk. You don't want to talk about the commercials. You don't want to talk about the halftime show. You don't want to talk about what Rihanna is wearing or not wearing during the half. Well, maybe you do. But you don't want any of that. You just want it. If you're a fan, you just want the game. That's it.
I don't, and again, even as bandwagon, nothing other than teams I've worked for in professional sports, when the Pats were doing well, I am locked in, and I also count on the National Football League broadcast to tell me what's going on, because I actually really enjoy, that's the other part, I don't want to be at a bar where I can't hear what, I need the broadcaster to tell me what's actually happened in the game, because I'm easily confused as to what happens in football.
Well, and you have a bit of an attention span from too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, we'll take a break. Just past 9 o'clock. After our top of the hour update, I got Sens Avalanche tickets for a game. I know it's a little time out here from March break, but this game is during March break, March 16th in particular. If you're going to be in town looking for plans, how about a 4-pack of tickets to see the Sens and the Avalanche? We'll give away those coming up in the next hour. Tickets as well to the Brockville Winter Classic, which is coming up on Family Day weekend. So we'll have that for you again coming up in the next hour as we roll on this post-All-Star break edition on Sports Radio TSN 1200.